Thank you, Chris, for leading us in our singing today. All of you that helped us to serve in our services today, we thank you as well. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And together we'll all say, amen. That's what the scriptures teach us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Well, last week I told you that I've spent 11 months talking to you around a theme of making decisions in our life. One of those great passages that we used during those lessons was the book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, actually, that says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment," or all judgment, some versions say, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God." Making good decisions, choosing the things that are excellent. And I told you that last Lord's Day, I wanted to remind you of some what I think are elementary things. And I'm not going to preach that sermon again to you, but we want to live the abundant life. And I hope everybody's happy today. Yeah, some of you still need to notify your face. Come on. There you go. That's better. Yeah, there you go. Let folks know that you're happy to be a Christian. And I want to say to you that in the preaching of that kind of a lesson that reminds us of all of the great things that God does for us and encourages us to be, that I'm not trying to say to you by any means that life doesn't have its difficulties, even if we are serving the Lord. But I want you to also know, or at least I hope you will understand, that there are some things that maybe are great benefits that we sometimes overlook when we have difficulties. Hence the title of a lesson that says, "The Blessings of Suffering." That almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? For a person to be suffering, and yet there would be blessing found within it. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, very short verses, actually, we have the Apostle Paul encouraging us by saying, "Be joyful always," or "rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God," or God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a marvelous statement. How many of you are here this morning because you want to do the will of God? I hope everybody is here because we're responding out of what God has done for us, so many great things in life, and all of the provisions that He gives us, that we're here to say thank you. And we're here to thanking, of course, for the giving of His life, a sacrifice of a life, and for the opportunity that we have of eternal life by being obedient to Jesus Christ. And it's not uncommon that we would live as people, that we would live in the here and the now. Nothing greater than singing about heaven or just listening to that last song, "Lord, how great thou art." I mean, There's really, that's a great sermon within itself. Could be sung and we could say amen to that and dismiss, because it actually brings us the scripture to the forethought. And we don't want to forget about those kinds of things. And God does not forget us. And I think we're finding that in our world today, that's very true about our society. That is, this idea of not forgetting. In fact, with social media, all they have to do is go run your history, and they can find where you've been or what you've said or what you've done for a long time. I hope that you young people will understand that. I hope old people too understand that when you're texting and when you're putting things on Facebook, that you're putting things that are positive things, that are good things, and not be telling so much about what's happening maybe in your life, or maybe offering your opinion about certain controversial subjects that wind up coming back and playing a negative role in our life. I think for the most of us, we find ourselves focused in the moment. It may be almost exclusively for some of us to find ourselves focused that way. And whether we realize it or not, prosperity has a lot to do with that. It treats us that way. Because you see, where we live here, we really don't suffer a whole lot. We really don't suffer a lot. You don't have to travel very far sometimes to be able to look at things around you in other places, especially when you go to another country, to make a recognition that when you come back and come home, you're very glad to be back here in the United States of America, because you've seen some things that you don't see. Now, I'm not trying to say that we don't have our troubles and that we don't have those areas. So please don't hear me saying that either. But in reality, most of us in this room, we really don't suffer the things of life very much. When Paul is writing to the young preacher, Timothy, he says to him that everyone who wants to live a godly life, some versions say those who desire to live godly, will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. In 1 Peter, we have an interesting passage. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, we all recognize that Jesus suffered in the body, right? I mean, you read the crucifixion and you understand what happened to him. He suffered in the body. Listen to this passage. Arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God, pointed toward God. Suffering helps us to rid our lives of sin. No, I'm not preaching a gospel or a teaching that says if you suffer a lot, you'll never sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to you that suffering will help us to correct our lives, to not find ourselves in the same sin again. Suffering leads us into the will of God. Suffering is what takes us to the place where we want to more diligently serve God. Suffering helps us to be focused on the higher power. And it helps to feed us spiritually. Because you see, our problem is that we think materially, materialistically. God thinks spiritually, eternally. All suffering is the result of sin. It's not necessarily your sin that you suffer from every time. Sometimes you receive the suffering of other people's sin. And we all know that, or we recognize it, but sin nonetheless. Obedience produces righteousness, and suffering causes me to focus on what is the most important. Listen to Peter as he writes, and he says, "It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." God's actually saying suffering can be good for you, especially if you're suffering because you have participated in the doing of good things. Remember, as I've often said to you, it's always right to do the right thing, even when it's not the popular thing, even when it may bring you to a place that you really would rather not go. In Hebrews chapter 5 and at verse 8, the writer there tells us that Jesus learned obedience by or through his suffering. Through or though he was a son, yet learned he obedience, says the scripture, by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he then became the author of salvation unto all that will obey him. You see, suffering does have its benefit. If you're like I am, when things happen to me, I say sometimes, why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening the way it's happening to me? Those are all good questions, actually. Job, in the 16th chapter of Job, verses 6 and 7, says this, "If I speak, my pain is not relieved. If I refrain, it does not go away. Surely, God, you will have worn me out, and you have devastated my entire household." You notice that Job, patient as he was, good as he was, blessed as he was turning toward God and saying, "Hey, why is this happening to me? Why have you devastated me this way?" I think probably that all of us have experienced that feeling and probably have asked that question. But have you really looked for the answer? Or have you thought there might be such an answer? Why is my marriage falling apart? Why is my life a mess? Why is this? Why? You know, even Jesus asked why. Remember when he prayed in the garden? "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." Why this way, Lord? Is there another way? But you know that he responded positively by simply saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Is it God trying to draw you closer? Is God trying to bring you to another place? It is better, that is, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good rather than for doing evil. All of those good questions. We know this is a time specifically in Job's case where we are told that later on there is a result. And in Job chapter 42 and verse 12, Jim, we're told that the Lord blessed Job, the latter end of Job's life, more than he did in the beginning. You see, Job made it through the suffering to the other side. And while we still don't think of that as maybe that positive kind of thinking, abundant life, that really truly is the abundant life, isn't it? That is making it through to the other side and knowing that God is blessing you. This was God's will for Job, of course. But listen, causing temporary pain can be more beneficial than temporary joy. Now listen to me, parents. You have preached that sermon, only not maybe in the words I just said it. You see, this concept of causing some temporary pain can wind up being more beneficial than the temporary joy. My dad believed that principle heavily. He would say to me, "Come to the garage with me, son, so the neighbors don't have to hear you start screaming." He believed that some temporary pain had a long-term benefit, that it would help me to be on the right track. I'm not saying that to be funny about me. I was a kid like you were a kid once, if you're not one now. And you had those days just like I had those days. And if you're old as I am, you are probably able to look back and remember that those were times in your life that helped to turn you toward the right direction. This whole idea about learning to choose the things that are excellent is sometimes heavily shaded by what the result might be or what that immediate thing might be. If you're like Bob is, I'm usually praying for God to prevent me from suffering. I'm not heavily fond of it. I'm not praying the way I should, because I should be praying that I could look for the suffering benefits. What are the benefits of me suffering? I tend to want to think so materially that our lives are all wrapped up with what's going on in the here and now, what we have or what we don't have. What I'm dealing with or not. How are we going to hang on to whatever it is that we got? Or how am I going to be able to accumulate more so I can wind up giving it to the kids who are going to fight over it anyway? We don't always think spiritually in the long term. But I want to reaffirm to you that the abundant life is about God thinking spiritually for us. God is thinking on behalf of our spiritual welfare. He is not as interested in the here and now as He is in the eternal consequences. He wants you to be saved everlastingly. Remember that suffering is one of the keys to this. Remember what Peter said about Christ who suffered in the body, and that having the same attitude as Christ would benefit us. Arm ourselves with that same attitude. That suffering
would be okay for you to have to go through. It may not be the thing that's top on your list, but if it will bring me to the eternal blessing of heaven and what God has prepared for me, it's good for me. Now the question is how do we get there, Jim? I've already admitted I'm still struggling with it. I would have thought by now I'd be done with that. But I'm a human being like you are. We must come to know God. We must come to understand Him. God, you see, is our refuge. God is our strength and ever-present help in trouble, says the Psalmist 46 and verse 1. It's really easy to recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As long as we perceive that the will of God is, well, pleasant for me. You know, I'm doing the will of God. This ought to be pleasant for me. I'm talking about me. This is the way I think. You may never think that way. But shouldn't it be pleasant for me? What if it includes pain and suffering? You know what the Apostle Paul says? In Acts chapter 21, it's recorded by Luke at verse 13. As Paul responds to those who are trying to keep him from going to Jerusalem, I know that I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Why don't you just stay home, Paul? Just don't go to Jerusalem. I mean, that's what his friends were saying to him. That's what the colleagues were saying. No, don't go. No, I must go. He knew that he had a job to do. He had something God wanted him to complete, and he recognized that. And so he wasn't going to allow the suffering that he knew was awaiting him to keep him from doing that. God's number one goal, his purpose for your life, my life, it's not your earthly happiness. It's not your earthly success. It's that you will be eternally saved. That's His goal for you. He wants you to be saved. That's why the cross, cruel as it was necessary for the salvation of all mankind. Because you see, God always thinks eternally. He's thinking about our eternal welfare. He was thinking about our eternal welfare when He sent Jesus here. When He knew that Jesus, His Son, His beloved Son, was going to be ridiculed and laughed at and spat upon and beaten and called a fraud. He knew that was going to happen. Jesus could have fixed all of our earthly struggles without ever going to the cross. But He went to the cross so we could be saved. There was a price to be paid. The cross is, see, necessary for all of mankind because God thinks eternally. Paul begged for God to remove a thorn. You remember reading about that? God, please remember this problem. Take it away from me. Guess what? God chose not to. He let him suffer with it. We don't often have to look for God's purpose. We're thinking, I already know it. He allowed His Son to suffer for us. I think that creeps into our thinking sometimes. that because Jesus has suffered, I won't have to. John chapter 17 and verses 1 through 3. John records and says, now this is life eternal. This is life eternal. That they might know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life eternal is about knowing God. Knowing God. Now don't just gloss this over. That's our purpose. Do you know God? Or do you just know about God? There's a difference. There's a difference in knowing the Heavenly Father than knowing just about the Heavenly Father. There's a great story over in Mark chapter 10 about a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he was under the impression that he knew God, but he really only knew about God. You see, the Bible is the revelation of God. If you're going to know God, you must know His book. We used to be known as the people of the book. I don't know if that's still true today. I hope that it is. The rich young ruler just had one question for him. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments, right? Don't commit adultery, do not kill, and do not steal, and don't bear false witness, don't defraud one another, honor your father and mother. And why, he just couldn't wait to give him the answer. He said, these I have known and kept all of my life. And the Bible says an interesting thing to me. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I haven't come to the conclusion just exactly how all of that applies to him, except that I know that he's going to give him an answer that he hasn't thought about. He wants to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, there's one thing you lack. One thing that you lack. And now he's going to tell him to do three things in order to take care of the one thing he lacks. And so he says, go and sell everything that you have. Then give the proceeds to all the people who don't deserve it. Go give it away. Go give it to the poor. And then, when you've done that, you come back and you can follow me. Now, what does all of that have to do with eternal life, brothers and sisters? You see, he lacks knowing God. He's a commandment keeper. He's not a God knower. He does not know God. He only knows about God. And he's only assumed that he need do what he thinks about God. And when the Son of God tells him what he needs to do to inherit eternal life, he goes away sorrowful. He is told to sacrifice the things that are the most valuable to him. Now, I know you can think God gave you the round thing on top of your shoulders to do it with. The ones he was ashamed of, he covered them up with hair. Now, am I right about that, Bobby? Okay, got at least one guy with me. I know you can think about this for a minute.